We've all heard the phrase competent to stand trial, but what does it really mean? The Constitution says that you have to be competent to be tried in a court of law, and in a new investigation for the Arizona Republic, reporter Michael Kiefer takes a closer look at a program here in Maricopa County that aims to restore people to competency. It's called the Restoration to Competency Program, or RTC, and it was established by Maricopa County in 2003 to try to determine if someone is fit to stand trial in a more efficient way. It's for people who have been accused of a crime but have not yet faced trial, and according to Kiefer, it's often a revolving door for those who end up in it.
The majority of people who end up in restoration to competency are, as one attorney described it, homeless-ish, people with mental illnesses who are arrested by the police, and many of them are for sort of minor offenses, criminal trespass, a lot of drug use. There are quite a few who have tangled with police officers, and then they are charged with aggravated assault on police officers. Mm-hmm. And they are deemed incompetent to stand trial after an initial mental evaluation, and they are sent to the Restoration to Competency Program to be, quote-unquote, restored. The primary way of restoring people is through psychotropic drugs. A problem with the RTC program in Maricopa County is that they have no psychiatrists on staff. So if they are actually medicated, it's sort of serendipitous, you know, meaning that they have been medicated by the Correctional Health Service, which technically oversees RTC, but there's sort of a wall between them to maintain some sort of independent evaluation. And so this is a problem that the RTC people cannot actually prescribe medication.
Mm-hmm. So you said they'll initially be arrested, they'll be evaluated, found incompetent, and then put through this program and then declared restored by mental health professionals. You also said that this is difficult to get a number of how many folks are going through this, right? That this can be an ongoing in and out of the program kind of process. Does this make it last a long time?
Well, it can. It depends. It is a fluid process, and there are people who are so-called restored, and then they lapse back into incompetence before they get to trial. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes during trial. There have been cases of capital cases, for instance, where the person is found incompetent before trial, is restored to competency or declared competent, and then during the trial lapses into incompetence again, is restored again, sentenced to death, mm-hmm. and then is incompetent again by the time the appeals begin. Competence itself is very fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these defendants can lapse in and out. You know, if you go off your meds, then you can sort of go back into sort of a Neverland. And
yeah. So let's talk about what that means to be competent to stand trial, right? Like, what are the criteria? How do you determine?
Competence and sanity are not synonyms.
Yes.
Competent means that you understand the proceedings against you and are able to assist your defense attorney in your defense. It does not mean that you don't have mental illness. It does not mean that you are completely sane.
Okay. So what are the challenges then in doing that fairly and in making sure that it's true that someone has been quote-unquote restored to competency?
One of the big challenges is that many of the defendants won't cooperate. What I found was that often there's perhaps too much cooperation between prosecutors and the restoration professionals. It's supposed to be an independent process, but the prosecutors facilitate a lot of the material that the restoration specialists gather. Mm-hmm. For instance, I got into this story because a defense attorney told me that a defendant of hers had been declared competent in part by a psychologist who watched a surveillance video of him meeting with his defense team. The attorney was shocked because legal meetings are sacrosanct. I mean, they are privileged. Mm-hmm. Here was a situation where the person had been declared competency on some observation without actually having meaningful sessions with the restoration staff.
Sure. What are the defense attorney's roles in this process usually?
Well, again, that depends. I mean, there's a dichotomy here. Many of the people, as I said, are people who have committed minor crimes. They are put into the program. They are then declared competent. Then they enter into plea agreements, and they're sent to jail or to prison. Mm-hmm. And I think, forgive me, but many of these defense attorneys are sort of brokering the deal. When you have a serious crime, some of these murders especially, these cases can go on for years. I have some that I've covered that it's been 8 years that they've been going through this dance of competent incompetent. Mm-hmm. There you have a situation where you have more aggressive defense attorneys and the stakes are higher. Now, we're talking about potential death sentences.
Okay. So this becomes more complicated, more high stakes when you're talking about something like a murder trial.
Yes.
Yeah. So you found here in your investigation into this that essentially the program in Maricopa County serves to advance the mentally ill through the court system to get them to stand trial. How do you prove that?
Well, that's really difficult. I mean, it is difficult to prove. It's just a question of observing it. I've been covering this for 16 years, and I've been watching this process and talked to dozens of people, looked at approximately 500 records, court records of people who had gone through it. Wow. To sort of try to tabulate. And it was a difficult thing to do because it is so ever-changing fluid. You'd get a record from the county with a case number, you'd look it up, you'd find that the person has been declared competent, incompetent, mm-hmm. and it goes on. It's a revolving door.
So what about oversight of this program? Who is in charge of making sure that it works?
Well, technically, the mental health professionals report to the judge. Hmm. There will always be a struggle back and forth. You will have the defense attorneys who are bringing in their own experts saying this person is not competent, this person is schizophrenic, this person doesn't know what he or she is doing. And then you will have a court-appointed person who will do an evaluation who may well say, well, no, they are competent, and it's up to the judge. The stakes for the prosecution are high also in that if a person is found incompetent and non-restorable, by law, the charges must be dropped, mm-hmm. and then the judge can then decide whether to send the person to civil commitment. But there are some really tragic cases there, too. There was a fellow named Rodney Avales who killed his mother and his niece, and he was declared incompetent, non-restorable. The charges were dropped. He was sent to the state hospital. You can't be held forever, you know, without charges in the state hospital. Mm-hmm. Rodney Avales was on medication. He was no longer incompetent. The doctors felt they had no choice but to release him. I caught wind of this, and the family learned from me that he was being released. Hmm. The county attorney then stepped in and charged him again with the murder. He went through that process several times before he was finally committed for good to the mental hospital. The thing is that nobody really wants these people out on the street, not the defense attorneys, not the prosecutors, you know, not the doctors.
The question is, in the end, should they end up in prison for the rest of their lives or in the state hospital for the rest of their lives?
Right.
All right. That's the Arizona Republic's Michael Kiefer. Michael, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.